I'm Mary Walter here with Vince Colonnese. And joining us right now from the Fox News Channel, it's Ed Henry. Ed, good morning.
Good morning. Happy holidays, everybody.
Thank you so much. Big announcement yesterday towards the end of the day. Jeff Sessions saying no special counsel, but he did say yet. So he did leave that open. He left that, he said, as of right now. So there was kind of like a little bit of a caveat in there, because that's what everybody wanted, was a special counsel so that they had the power to subpoena people who have left and they had more investigative authority.
Right.
So why do you think he did that?
Well, frankly, I think the real story is that Jeff Sessions can't catch a break. I mean, a couple days ago, it was announced that at Sessions' urging, the Inspector General at the Justice Department, Michael Horowitz, was going to look at this FISA abuse. And basically, you know, James Comey, Andrew McCabe, some of these other folks who were running the FBI, didn't tell that FISA judge that the dossier, which they used to spy on the Trump campaign, was paid for by the DNC and the Hillary Clinton campaign. This was a key material fact that was left out. And so a lot of critics of Sessions who have said, well, he never should have recused himself. That led to the Robert Mueller special counsel on the other side of this whole investigation that's targeting the Trump side, that maybe the Clinton side should be targeted with a second special counsel, and that, frankly, the Inspector General doesn't have any power. So then Jeff Sessions comes out yesterday and says, well, wait a second, I don't need a second special counsel yet. I'm leaving the door open, as you said, Mary, but I don't need one because I've quietly had this, you know, what should be a nonpartisan prosecutor out in Utah, outside the Beltway, outside the swamp, if you will, looking at whether or not there should be criminal charges against folks like Andrew McCabe. So I think for the folks who have wanted a second special counsel on the Clinton email probe, maybe on the Comey McCabe FBI abuses, the door is open here because you have somebody who was nominated, by the way, by Barack Obama as U.S. attorney, John Huber out in Utah. And then he stepped down at the end of the Obama administration, and Donald Trump renominated him at the urging of Orrin Hatch and Mike Lee, the very conservative Republican senators in Utah. So here's the bottom line. I think this is a prosecutor out in Utah who, again, is outside the swamp, can look at this carefully, and can decide either, A, there are criminal charges, B, nothing should happen, or C, right, you know what, there's enough here that there should be a special counsel. And these are some fresh eyes. And somebody, again, nominated by Obama, renominated by Trump, rather than all these questions about, well, Robert Mueller is not fair, he's got Clinton people on his team, here's somebody who had the support of both Barack Obama and Donald Trump. Let's let this prosecutor take a look at it.
For outsiders, non-lawyers like me, we look at this and we say, okay, well, it just seems like for justice to be served, you need another special counsel. But your contention here in part is that Jeff Sessions may view it from the perspective of one way or another, justice can be served. It just doesn't necessarily require a second special counsel.
It might not happen as quickly as people want, but I think the fact that he has this prosecutor looking at it, it means more than anything, Vince. The door is open on criminal prosecutions, which a lot of people have been pushing for. The door is open.
Yeah. Let me talk to you about the president for a moment. He went to Ohio yesterday, and he was pitching his infrastructure plan. He gave a stemwinder of a speech kind of all over the place, you know, typical Trumpian fashion. But this was the first time we've really heard from him this week. He kind of laid low otherwise. What's your perspective on sort of the posture of the White House right now and the president's final appearance yesterday?
Well, I mean, they would deny it if, you know, probably, but I would suspect that given what was aired on Sunday night on 60 Minutes, the Stormy Daniels interview, it would make sense not to put the president out there too publicly Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, have all these questions shouted at him. And, you know, I don't think that story's over, but here we are Friday, and the Stormy Daniels story, again, it's not over, but it's sort of been tamped down a little bit. It's a little quieter. He didn't pour any gasoline on the fire by tweeting about it. At least not yet. We've got to check our phones. Maybe in a minute he will. But more importantly, you know, there was a judge who's now saying there's not going to be some speedy trial that she wanted out in California. So look, on one hand, they have that political problem. On the other hand, he wanted to fire the VA secretary. So
yes.
He's still sort of shaking things up there. And then what does he do? I think he tries to pivot back to two things. One, what you said, which is that he's in his element when he's in this sort of campaign mode, out in a rally, free associating the board. Number two, he was talking about infrastructure, he was talking about jobs, he was talking about building the wall. He's talking about an economy that, while the markets are pretty volatile right now, the economy is pretty strong, and he has a good story to tell. And if he can get away from his other political problems and talk about that, I suspect that this is why you're seeing, despite all the other issues, His approval ratings are creeping up.
Meanwhile, in the economy, as you mentioned, jobless claims reached their lowest level yesterday since 1973. Mm-hmm. He saw the first full three quarters of his presidency outpace that 3% mark on GDP growth that he was looking for. So, yeah, he does have a good message to tell, even though there's a lot of noise around him.
Yeah, and the question is it going to be enough for Republicans? This is, we've always known they've got crosswinds. How strong are those winds coming in their face? And, you know, Wall Street and the 401ks the president was touting early in his administration. Oh, things are pretty good. You know, stock market, record. He's not tweeting as much about the markets because, as you know, that's not the entire economy. When it was strong, Democrats were saying the markets are not the whole piece. Now that the markets are more volatile, the president is maybe saying, hey, it's not all about the markets. It's about the jobless claims. It's the other pieces. But look, Republicans still are facing some headwinds in these midterms. But I think the tax cut, I think the strong economy, that's the ace they have in the hole. Whether it's enough, we're going to find out.
Very quickly, in 30 seconds, one thing that would bolster the base would be starting the wall, starting construction on that. A lot of people saying they're going to use defense funds. Can they do that? And you think that's what's going
to
happen?
I think it's going to be hard to technically shift the money by the Constitution, if nothing else. Congress has the power of the purse. So it's very hard to do what the president wants, is to sort of shift budgets around.
Okay. Right.
But bottom line is, by hook or crook, piece by piece, he's going to start building that wall one way or another. You're going to find money, over at the Customs and Border Protection. It's not going to be a wall built, 1,000 miles at a time, but 2 miles at a time, they're going to start building it.
All right, and we mentioned earlier the Nationals have opening day today. Ed Henry also has a great book on baseball. It's called 42 Faith, The Rest of the Jackie Robinson Story, available everywhere. Ed Henry, thank you, sir.
I appreciate it. Go Nats. Let's have a good year.
There we go. Yeah, win the World Series, baby. 844 on WMAL.
They've come close. They got to finally get over the hump.
Yes, they do.